What It Means to be Reformed, Part 5, an editorial by Professor Barrett Gritters. Calvinism's Solas. Calvinism is more than the tulip of the 5 points. Identification with Calvin's thought is at least an embrace of the 5 points. Real Calvinism is not 4-point Calvinism, in which one denies, for example, limited atonement. Real Calvinism is also a genuine embrace of the 5 points. That needs to be said with an exclamation point, because a flurry of books have been published recently to explain Calvinism, but accomplish only to explain away Calvinism. Those who outrightly reject Calvinism are honest, but these new books are deceptive. An example of this is a recent book entitled The Joy of Calvinism by Greg Forster. The short book includes 4 main chapters about God's love, but begins with a lengthy detour. The author invites you to feel free to skip it entirely. That effectively guts Calvinism's doctrines of grace. It challenges most people's conception of Calvinism in a pretty fundamental way. The Ph.D. author, Calverley, says that Calvinism does not deny that we have free will. Provocatively claims that Calvinism does not say we are totally depraved, and foolishly blurts out that, according to Calvinism, God loves the reprobate, and the canons of Dort teach this, without as much as a word from the canons themselves to show this. Beware counterfeit Calvinism. Real Calvinism embraces unashamedly the 5 points. However, it is more than the 5 points. The more includes many subjects that will come out in future editorials, God willing. But the more here is still with regard to the doctrines of grace, the biblical teaching of salvation. It is the 5 solas of the Reformation. Sola in Latin means only or alone. The adjective sola is attached to the 4 nouns, Christ, faith, grace, and God's glory. In Latin, solus Christus, sola fide, sola gratia, and soli Deo gloria. By using these phrases, the Reformed faith teaches that salvation is the work of Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. The 5th sola, sola scriptura, teaches that the authority for what we believe and how we live is Scripture alone. Over against Roman Catholicism and Arminianism, which also confess Christ, grace, faith, and glory to God, Calvinism teaches that salvation comes from Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, to the glory of God alone. The 5 points of Calvinism themselves have this alone or sola characteristic, as the adjectives in 4 of the points show. Election is unconditional, the atonement is limited, depravity is total, grace is irresistible. Each adjective makes a point similar to what the solas make. The canons of Dort are emphatic about this, but it is worth explaining these solas in a separate editorial to emphasize this fundamental dimension of being Reformed. Reformed churches were and are faithful to the Bible's exclusive claims. To be Reformed is to be distinctive, antithetical, exclusive. To say that the 5 solas are Reformed rather than that they are Calvinist, they are the 5 solas of the Reformation, not the 5 solas of Calvin, gives opportunity to remind ourselves that, although the Reformed faith owes a great debt to Calvin, our debt is not to invent a phrase sola to Calvin. The human instruments whom God used to hand down to us the Christian tradition we call Reformed were many more than Calvin. Reformed Christians rightly lionize Calvin. We thank God for this man and his defense and propagation of the true Christian religion. Our debt to his tireless and faithful efforts is no little one. But lionizing Calvin must not allow us to forget other worthies in the pride. Reformed believers ought to grant lion status to Calvin's contemporaries, Zwingli and Alasco, Vermigli and Bucer, Bullinger and Knox. In the same pride ought to be placed Calvin's followers, who clarified and developed the Reformed faith, Beza, Ursinus, and Olivianus, Vocius, and Gomarus, and many more. Calvin himself would have given recognition to a different cloud of witnesses, on whose shoulders he stood, and on account of whose blood the faith of the fathers was living still in his day. Augustine, Gottschalk, Wycliffe, Huss, Luther, and more. But attaching a man's name to a movement is not the way of wisdom. Truly, we ought not embrace the label Calvinist any more than the PRCs want to be known as Hooksomists. The Canadian Reformed, Skilderists, or the OPCs, Machinists. Calvin himself did not want his name so used. It was not, in his day, except by his Lutheran opponents. Calvin recoiled at the designation Calvinism, and not because of modesty, but because the Christian faith is not of a man, and the truth he embraced was not new. Yet the label has stuck. So we use it without shame, even if with some slight regret. But far better for us is the label Reformed, by which, remember, we simply mean the Christian faith. And Reformed is the designation that is attached to the five solas. Briefly explained, they are Sola Christus, the only sola in the nominative. Nominative makes the phrase the subject of some sentence. Sola Christus makes Christ the sole subject of our salvation. Christ saves. Christ alone saves. Jesus Christ is the only mediator and intercessor for his people. Roman Catholic doctrine held forth many mediators. The poor believers were directed to find their salvation from the saints. My childhood Roman Catholic neighbors had St. Christopher hanging from their rear-view mirror to intercede for them in their travels to grandmother's house. The Reformed Fathers taught what eighth-grade catechism students know. We do not seek our salvation and welfare of or from saints, and we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other than Christ. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they, who by a true faith receive this Savior, must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 11. The Belgic Confession says, we believe that it is not necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice, once offered, by which believers are made perfect forever. For any to assert that Christ is not sufficient, but that something more is required beside him, would be too gross a blasphemy. Article 22. The Reformed creeds teach biblical truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Sola fide. This phrase means by faith alone. That is, we are saved or justified through faith and nothing more than faith. Righteousness is imputed to sinners through the instruments of faith, nothing added. Roman Catholicism and modern heresies arising even from churches with the name Reformed teach that righteousness comes through faith and something else. The Reformation responded, by faith alone and not through any works or through the law. Faith is the alone instrument uniting a man with Christ, who is our righteousness. Only faith embraces Jesus, in whom is all our salvation. No will of man, no work of man, no goodness of man explains our righteousness, our righteous standing before God. We justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone or by faith without works. Belgic Confession, Article 22. Then the creed sharpens the point To speak more clearly, we do not mean that faith itself justifies us, for it is only an instrument with which we embrace Christ our righteousness. According to Martin Luther, this is the article by which the church stands or falls. Calvin said it is the main hinge on which religion turns. The fathers of Westminster followed suit by confessing that faith is the alone instrument of justification. To tie the first two solas together, the Reformed faith teaches that Christ alone saves, through faith alone. Sola gratia. Important as is the confession, faith alone, it serves a truth of higher rank. That truth is sola gratia, or by grace alone. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. All the salvation that Christ provides through faith must come by this unmerited favor alone. Now see how faith is the servant of grace. Since faith is God's gift, faith is not a work of man. And since all of salvation comes through this gift of faith, we can say, all of salvation is of grace. Salvation is not to be explained by anything in me. I am a debtor. What I am and shall receive is undeserved. It is all of grace and of grace alone. Connecting faith and grace in this way is the teaching of Romans 4, verse 16. Read the context from verse 1. To see Paul's grand teaching of justification, or salvation, by faith, and his powerful argument against the heresy of justification, or salvation, by works. Paul concludes by connecting faith and grace. Therefore it, the promise to Abraham, is of faith, and that it might be by grace. Why did the promise come to Abraham of faith and not of works? In order that the promise might come to Abraham by grace. This, too, the Reformed confessions teach. Everything of salvation is sola gratia, that is, mere grace. We are delivered from our misery merely of grace. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32. Righteousness and salvation are merely of grace. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. God, only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. Election, the deepest source of my salvation, is out of mere grace. Canons 1, 7. Soli Deo Gloria. So that we may always say, to God alone be the glory. To put these four solas together is not difficult. Christ alone saves through faith alone for the sake of grace alone, in order that all glory may be given to God alone. If any of salvation, even the tiniest bit, comes from outside of Christ, or if Christ comes to man through any other instrument than his free gift of faith, or on account of any merit of man, then the glory of that tiniest bit of salvation goes to man and not to God. Against that gross blasphemy, Reformed believers fight with all their might. Canons 1, 7 teaches gracious salvation, beginning in salvation's source, sovereign election, for the demonstration of his mercy and for the praise of his glorious grace. The fathers in this ecumenical synod were looking at Scripture's call to give all glory in all things, to God and to God alone. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 6. And the book of Romans does nothing if it does not teach that everything revolves around God's glory. The heart of the reprobate sin is a refusal to give glory to God. 1 verse 23. Sin is a coming short of the glory of God. 3 verse 23. Paul teaches that if Abraham's justification were by works, he would be able to glory in himself. 4 verse 2. But Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 4 verse 20. Paul's conclusion of the doctrinal section of the epistle, where all the doctrines of sovereign grace are taught, is, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." 11, verse 36. And Paul's own Spirit-inspired exclamation point of the epistle, his very last words before the final amen, are, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." 16, verse 27. No one else saves but Christ. Nothing but grace and faith explain our salvation in Christ, for none but God may receive the glory. This is exclusive, for false teachings must be excluded. This is antithetical, for truth must be defended over against the lie. This is distinctive, for biblical truth must be known and confessed clearly, sharply, distinctly. There may be no doubt as to who is worthy of praise, all of it. This is Reformed.